Welcome, everybody. Tonight we have Pray and Watch from the fourth chapter of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah prayed to the Lord for protection, for deliverance, for the enabling strength. But also he took action by watching as a safeguard against enemy attack and also in expectation of what the Lord would do. And we too need to recognize that we need to put action to our faith, to strive to do what the Lord has called us to do. So, Cecil, would you open in prayer tonight, please?
Sure. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, we indeed are thankful for your precious word. Thank you for your love and mercy, even thy word that was spoken this day. Lord, we're blessed to have you speak to our lives. Lord, we need to be arrayed. We need to be fortified in these evil days. Certainly, Lord, in the days of Nehemiah, where they were one hand with material and the other hand with a sword, Lord, we're thankful for the word of God that we have the sword of God to defend our enemies. And Lord, we do have the evil ones around us all the time. Lord, we ask again that you would protect. Thank you for each one that's on tonight. We ask, oh God, you might speak to our hearts in a very special way. To realize, as Brother Rick had just mentioned, we don't want to be hearers only, but we want to be doers of your word. We don't want to have a lot of empty faith and not have it in practice. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great mercy and the grace to carry us on. Again tonight, we ask Brother Rick, as he ministers to us, that you give him the power, the clarity of thy word. May your spirit be gracious in giving us ears to hear and eyes to see and an understanding of it. Lord, we're grateful for each one. We're thankful for your answered prayer even this past week, and we're ever mindful, Lord, how you do care for your own. You carry us on your wings. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day that we have here to enjoy, and now as we anticipate hearing from thee, O Lord, speak to our hearts, we ask in Christ's name. We pray. Amen.
Amen. The fourth chapter of Nehemiah deals with that steady progression of the reaction of the wicked when they see God at work and when they see the accomplishments of faith by God's people. It proceeded from evil thoughts and then words and then finally to deeds of outright hostility and violence. So this is the way of sin. And Psalm 112 verse 10 speaks of the reaction of the wicked when they see God's hands at work. And as it says, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. And further that they will flee, that their desire will be put to an end. And yet, though there is that hostility by the wicked, when the righteous witness the accomplishment of God's program and God's purpose, there is a rejoicing in his power, in his grace. Amen. Many times we sing that hymn, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. And this is the reaction of the people of God when we see the power of God at work in our lives. And this, of course, is part of the joy of our salvation. For as we read of the accomplishment of God's faithfulness to his people in the past, we are mindful of his sustaining power in our present, and we have the absolute assurance of his continuing grace for the future and for eternity. Even as the desire of the nations has come in the person of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we often sing that hymn, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." This opening portion of chapter 4 of Nehemiah is another chapter, another portion of the power of prayer in the people of God. And Tom, would you read verses 1 to 9 in chapter 4 for us, please?
But it came to pass that when Sambalat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. He spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builder." So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sambalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them.
Amen. Thank you. Our topic tonight is pray and watch. The necessity of a prayerful expectation for God's working in our lives, but also our responsibility to do that which He has called His people to do. And here we read of the events of the attempts by the wicked ones to discourage the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. As we noted this morning in the opening chapter of this book, the year was 445 BC. In the 20th year of the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this point in history was a time of discouragement, a time of despair, a time of very little hope. And yet, whenever the people of God are discouraged, we see that the wicked usually pile it on. And Sanballat and Tobiah and the other Samaritans, the enemies of God and His people, were filled with indignation at the news that there was a plan to rebuild the city walls. And as the wicked often do, one of their first points of attack is mockery. Sanballat mocked the notion of rebuilding the wall. He ridiculed the prospect of them trying to rebuild the wall. First, he minimized the strength of the Hebrews, of the Jews. He supposed that such a small, insignificant number could not accomplish so great a task. But we must always remember that if God be for us, who can be against us? He further mocked the dismal condition in which they operated. The wall was in total disrepair. The gates were burned down with fire. And he taunted them wondering whether they could rebuild it from the rubbish. One of the obstacles to the path of sanctification is clearing out the rubbish of the old nature, turning away from the things of the world and seeking after the holiness of God. And this, as the principle of Scripture, is often first the natural and then the spiritual. This reality of the rubbish that hindered the reconstruction of the walls of Jerusalem is a spiritual lesson to us of the need for repentance, for cleansing, for reforming, and for striving for holiness and obedience to the law of God, to the Word of God. They ridiculed the Jews, asking whether they would rebuild the wall by sacrifice. And in effect, this is a mockery of prayer. The world doubts the efficacy, the power of prayer. And yet even medical science has acknowledged the healing power of prayer in the lives of God's people. But they wondered whether prayer, whether serving this God could actually rebuild the wall. And as they worked toward that task, it was indeed the power of God which protected them and enabled them to endure the temptation, to endure the fear and the discouragement, and to actually do what God had called them to do. They asked further whether this could all be done in a day. They sought to exaggerate the monumental task that lay before the Jews as they sought to rebuild the wall. Of course, they didn't expect that it would take only a day. But to the amazement of the enemies of God, when they put their hearts and their minds to it, and they began to work together, the entire wall was completely rebuilt in 52 days. So Sanballat is seeking to discourage and to minimize the effort of Nehemiah and his people to rebuild. Tobiah joins in the ridicule. He says that their efforts are so frail and weak that if a fox should happen to climb up on the wall, it would knock it down. Hinting that the lack of prime materials that they had to rebuild that wall was a contributing factor to its weakness. That something as small as a fox could knock it over. And yet, despite all of the ridicule, despite all of the minimizing of their efforts, we see that Nehemiah turned to the Lord. He prayed to God. And we as Christians, when we face discouragement, when we face opposition or the threat of danger, the threat of attack from the enemies of God, we too, like Nehemiah, need to be quick to turn to the Lord. Nehemiah prayed to God. And he prayed that God would take note of the fact that they were despised, that they were being ridiculed, that they were being mocked. And indeed, it was God himself that was being mocked. For it was God who had called them to this task. It was the prophecies of Jeremiah and others that had predicted that the Jews would return from the exile, that the city of Jerusalem would be restored and rebuilt, and that the path would be laid for the eventual coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So this was all God's purpose and God's program. So the efforts of the enemies of Nehemiah and his people was in reality an attack upon God. Nehemiah requested that God take note of that and that he bring the reproach upon their own head, that he would judge the enemies and cause them to be the prey in this land of captivity, the land to which they sought to deny the Jews the right to resettle and repopulate and rebuild. Scripture does admonish us that we're to love our enemies, that we're to pray for them. And indeed, we are to pray for the conversion of the wicked. we're to be an example of patience and tolerance, even if violence is committed against us. But as the psalmist notes, the imprecatory psalms frequently acknowledge the prayers of King David, a man after God's own heart, that the judgment of God would fall. Psalm 9:9 reminds us that God has appointed a day of judgment, a day of reckoning, a day in which the wicked will be held to account, and he will judge in righteousness and with equity among the people. It will not be a deceptive court of law, as many of our criminal justice events seem to be. It will not be determined by power or wealth or deceitful lies. The Lord Jesus Christ is the righteous judge, and he knows the hearts. He knows the motives. He is aware of every thought, every word, and every deed. And he says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He reminds us that as the wicked will be held to account, so too the righteous will realize the eternal glory, the eternal blessing of Almighty God. And thus, Nehemiah was not issuing a selfish request. He had a righteous indignation at the reaction of Sanballat and Tobiah and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites and all of the Samaritans as they sought to hinder the rebuilding of the wall. Their opposition to Nehemiah and the people was in reality an affront against the holiness and the righteousness of God. So he prayed for the execution of divine justice and divine judgment. And we read here verse 6 that so we builded the wall. The enemies had sought to discourage. They had sought to dishearten the Jews. They thought that by attacking and questioning the power of their faith, the power of prayer, they could prevent the resumption of the construction of the wall. But this passage tells us that they were not discouraged. By looking to God for enabling strength, for the power of God, they were fortified and they were able to proceed. They all worked together with a single mind to accomplish what God had called them to do. And within a very short time, the gaps in the wall were nearly closed. The wall was rebuilt to about half of its intended height. And as the wicked see the progress of God's plans and the outworking of his purposes in our lives and in the lives of others, they become more hostile. Sanballat and Tobiah and the others became more enraged at the developments. And they began to take even further, more direct and more hostile action against the Jews. They gathered themselves together and they came to Jerusalem with the intention to fight. And thus their evil thoughts, their words of discouragement and mockery had now turned to action, to a hostile attempt to interrupt the progress. But again, rather than give in to fear, the people resolved, with the leadership and the guidance of Nehemiah and his faith, the faith of the people was strengthened, and they prayed and they watched. Because of the inferior numbers of the Jews who were attempting to rebuild the wall of the great city of Jerusalem, there were many unprotected areas, and some worked while others stood guard with their swords. At some points, they worked with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. And thus they prayed and they watched and they worked day and night. They trusted that the Lord would protect them, but they also took the responsibility of action to be on guard, to be alert, to stand against the attacks of the enemy. They were prepared with the priests and the others who held the trumpets, that if attack came in one part of the city and there was not sufficient people there to defend it, that the others could be sounded the alarm and they would come to help in the defense of the people who were under attack. And thus, they prayed and they watched. Fear is often a major obstacle to the accomplishment of God's work. And this was true of the Hebrews as they began to enter into the promised land. After their years of wandering in the wilderness, rather than responding in faith to the glowing reports of Joshua and Caleb about the land flowing with milk and honey, they cowered in fear at the reports of the other spies who feared the giants and the fortified cities. And they allowed those reports to interrupt in their carrying out the purpose and the command of God that they occupy the land and they drive out the enemies of God. But the scripture reminds us that we must learn not only from the positive examples of those who faithfully obey God, but also from the negative examples of those who do not. And here in this situation, Nehemiah and his people remembered that example from their past history. And rather than bowing to fear, they resolved to trust in God and His protection and to commit themselves to work, to working together to do that which God had instructed them to do. And they rebuilt the wall. We must be also in constant memory of the responsibility to do what God has called us to do. To not give in to fear, but to recognize that He is ever with us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4, verse 4. And thus we can be assured of the abiding presence of the Lord. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. He has promised to finish that work which He has begun in us. And therefore we, like Nehemiah, must never give in to fear. We, like Nehemiah, must watch and pray. We must pray recognizing our dependence upon God. For even the Apostle Paul reminds us that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. And this dependence upon God, then, should prompt us not to inaction, but to action. Like the Jews who had returned to Jerusalem, we must watch. We are instructed to be alert, to be diligent in the study of the Word, to be ready, for He will come at a time when we least expect Him. And God's people are challenged to strive to carry forth the good news of the gospel, so that when the Lord returns, we will not be ashamed, but that we will receive that commendation from the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. This expectation of the coming of Christ, the second coming of our Lord and Savior, is like the action of the Jews rebuilding the wall, often subject of mockery and scorn. The scripture says that there will be scoffers who ridicule the idea of the Lord Jesus coming back. They say it's been more than 2,000 years and He hasn't appeared yet, and He's not coming. They deny the existence of God because it encourages their sin. And they suppose that by ignoring the reality of the judgment of God and the certainty of hell for the wicked, that they can somehow make it go away. But the Bible is clear. The Word of God is certain. And He will bring to pass all things that He has promised. Even the Apostle John reminds us that these are things which must shortly come to pass. And the denial of truth does not negate it. It does not make it go away. And we're told that those wicked, when they see the Son of Man descending in the clouds, coming again as He went up into heaven, that they will cry out in fear and in terror and desire that even the rocks could hide them from the terror of His wrath. But there will be no escape for the wicked. It will be the time in which they are finally and ultimately held to account for their wickedness, for their sin, for their selfishness, for their mockery of God. And they will be cast with the devil into that lake of everlasting fire. But for the righteous, it will be a different outcome. We will be carried up into heaven, that place to which Christ has gone to prepare for us. And we shall be forever with the Lord. This wall of Jerusalem was rebuilt in 52 days when the people put aside their fears and they put aside their doubts and they resolved to work together to face the danger, to resist the temptation, and to do together what God had called them to do. Likewise, we Christians must resolve to work together. Each one of us has been given a spiritual gift, a role in the body of Christ, to do that which God has called us to do in the small corner in which we exist. Scripture tells us to let our light shine, whether it's among our family, whether it's among our friends or our neighbors, our co-workers, or to a larger degree among our communities and among our nation, that we have a responsibility to be the ambassadors for the kingdom. We are instructed to pray. God desires that His people pray continually. He knows what we need before we even ask, and yet He's pleased to hear our petitions. And He's further promised that whatsoever we ask, according to the name of Christ, by His authority, by His grace, it shall be given unto us. And thus, we are instructed to pray. But we are also instructed to watch, to put our faith into action, to trust that the Lord will enable us to do that which we in our own human weakness, our own intellect, our own commitment, feel that we cannot do. God will enable us. The indwelling power of His Spirit will show us the way, and He will give us the strength and the wisdom and the power to do that which God has called us to do. Jesus told His disciples that you will do greater things than the great miracles that they had witnessed Him do. And likewise, He has extended that promise to us, that He has chosen us to be His co-laborers in the work of the gospel, that He has chosen us to be joint heirs in His kingdom. And He tells us that by His grace and by His mercy, we shall be rewarded in heaven. We will be given charge over greater things if we've been faithful in the small things. And He promises that we will have authority even over the angels. So the Christian is expected to pray and to watch. He tells us to be ready for His return. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. May we be ready for that great day. May we put aside our fears. May we put aside the temptations to sin. May we put aside the discouragements of those who would seek to hinder the work of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we do that which He has called us to do, to accomplish great things for the kingdom of Christ. Amen.